When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello! This week we have the wonderful, incredible Monet Exchange!
What a delight. What a fantastic conversation. Let me tell you, it gets real very quickly all about butt stuff.
Straight up butt stuff for the whole time. We teach Monet about a lube shooter. She tells us about her new single.
Yeah, Love Like This. There's also...
It comes out today!
Today, so make sure you go look at that. Also, we talk about internet drama. We talk about...
the Tamisha of it all.
Day drag. And we talk about the fate of her poor cat as a young child. That's really intense.
Oh my God, it gets weird. She does not have good luck with pets. I feel bad for Colleen. Anyway, I hope y'all enjoy this wonderful, fun episode!
We will talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is slivysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Are you ready for some Slivy Seconds, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks? Welcome back to Slivy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm Meatball and that's Big Dipper. Hello.
Hello. I'm very happy to be here because today we have a professional singer with us who can maybe give you some notes on your notes and vibrato, which is a technical term that I don't know that you ever really studied in school. Did you ever have a voice teacher to teach you that, Meatball?
I studied musical theater, so it's a lot of just screaming.
Mm, yeah, that's mm-hmm, when they say, like, mm-hmm. use your belt voice.
They say belt. They said throw it to the back of the room, and we'll get to the note eventually. You could start low, and you'll get there. Anyway, I'm so excited for our special guest. She is an all-star. Uh-huh. She is a recording artist.
Yes.
She is a podcaster. She is a cat owner, and she is Tamisha Amon's number one enemy. It is Monet Exchange!
Monet! Hello.
I think I'm probably Tamisha's number two enemy now. I think she's moved on.
Who's the number one?
Her fucking team producing her fucking sneakers and her merchandise. That's enemy number one, baby. That's who she should be fighting with. Not me.
Meatball
she got
loves.
Robbed. She got. I love a mess. I love a messy, messy mess.
Oh, I know, because Meatball, it sends me, she creates these videos and these shady fucking pictures of Tamisha attacking me in the ocean. Tamisha doing all these weird fucking things. Meatball, it's so ridiculous.
Okay, without.
No.
Go ahead. What we want?
Like, I just like you, and I think it's funny that like you have nothing to say about it, and yet she still keeps coming for you.
Well,
it's hilarious.
Without getting into the nitty gritty, because we don't need to be like additionally messy.
It's already done. It's
my
over.
Biggest question is like, how do you, Monet, as a person, like allow that to be this thing that happens over here on the internet that doesn't actually ruin your day?
I don't know. I think also, so I come from my family. I have like the toughest skin, right? Like I grew up in a family where
yeah, it looks like it. We can see right here on the under the eye. Or, no, I'm just kidding.
Girl, you know, I have since coming to LA, the dolls have told me about all the things. I'm like, oh my God, mm-hmm. do I need to do all these things? And you see a friend one day for lunch and you see them a week later and you're like, oh my God, I've heard about like threads in your chin that pull your face. Girl, they're all the things. I'm like, I guess I need to do some of this stuff. Anyway, so I grew up in a family where we made fun of each other. Like, that's just how we grew up. And that's just part of the culture of my family. Like, I love when people make fun of me. I love when people read me. I love, like, it legitimately makes me LOL. I love it. So the whole Tamisha thing, at the beginning, I was like, really, this is so funny. Like, I was, like, living for, like, everyone else. And then I realized, like, what the premise of her of her egregiousness of her what are they called? Grievances against
grievances.
And I egregiousness. And then I was like, so you clearly just have never watched our thing. And it just started becoming super personal, and then it got super weird, and then the fucking vixen girl got into it, and it just all got became this like crazy thing. And I was like, no, this is not fun anymore. I'm over it. And I just move on. Like, they can say all they want. And the funny thing was that she did all this stuff, and Bob and I would do Patreon exclusives. And I'm like, if this bitch knew how much money she made us from us.
Well, I think she did. Isn't that why she started charging like $25.99?
Well, she also made a bunch of money too. Yeah, because a lot of people signed up for her. Yeah,
okay. The seven people that signed up for her fucking network
Wow.
I was like, this girl is crazy. But I'm like, keep on talking because you are giving us patrons, girl. And so welcome to all the new patrons. It's right.
Welcome to Patreon.
Welcome.
It is an interesting thing, the internet, because it is a very real thing that we interact with all the time, that can do things like order us food, right? You know, physical food, buy us products, that can come and also have real impact with statements and things that go out there. But also, it is not real life. It is both of those things. And we are like, we are living inside of this experiment. We're only a couple decades into what it means, and only really a decade into like what social media actually does to our psyche as human beings. Like, it's very wild. And I, from afar, admire your attitude and how you use the internet. Because the only thing it should do is allow people to level up. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be the thing that you choose to put on your phone and you choose to interact with, and it makes you depressed all day. That should not be what it turns out to be, right?
Exactly, exactly. I totally agree. And honestly, and it's always, for me, the thing I always think about when I think about if I should react to something is I normally don't, unless I have like a funny take or I think something is funny, but I get conflicted about it when fans or people start believing this stuff. Is like, well, if I don't reply, do people think that it's true? And so that's always my thing, is like, if I don't respond, people are going to think that these things these people are saying are facts, and I don't want that to happen. So that is always my conundrum of if I should respond, because I don't want people to believe what's being said is the truth.
Well, let's talk about something else, because fans can also like make up storylines in their head based on something that they see. So like when Trinity and you were tied, it looked as though Trinity was plucked during that live taping and everyone was going around being like, she's so mad. She's so mad. Do you think she's mad? I would like to get more messy.
You know, at the beginning of it, I genuinely think when we were sitting there watching that fucking tape at that
weird... We're talking
about
All-Stars 4.
All-Stars 4.
All-Stars 4, yeah.
Share the crown. Win. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we watched it like everyone else, like in this like bar right across the World of Wonder. So you know where the World of Wonder offices is? There's a bar literally across the street, and we went across there and we watched it there.
Yeah, at Borders. I think... across the street.
It's a Borders Books.
That's what I was thinking too.
Bordner's is the name of Bordner's. That's the name of the bar. They have a little outdoor space in the back. It's
Okay, and there was a tiny Trixie impersonator there too.
It was Tatya.
I know.
Okay.
And then so we watched it, and I think in that moment Trinity was genuinely like, what the fuck? Like, ew. I genuinely think that, you know, and I may be wrong, but I genuinely think she was like, no, I don't want this. And I think that when we both realized it, we were both getting our own $100,000. We both got our own crown, our own statue. We literally were sharing nothing but the airtime on TV. Then we were like, oh, work. Because then also, I came from two things. One, in that moment, I was like, just smile and just react and just get the... like just do that. I was like, cameras are on you. You smile. And then and I was processing it. I was like, I'm gonna have to fucking share it. And they said we didn't have to do that. And then later I was like, oh my God, I actually love this, because this will probably never happen in Drag Race again. So it's such an iconic moment for, honestly, in queer history. Like,
history books.
So I feel like after I realized all that, I was like, it's kind of fair. It's one of a kind. It'll never happen again. And we both get our own shit. Like, if whether you were Team Trinity or Team Monet, your person won. So you know what I mean? So it was fine.
Yeah. And
I loved it. It was shocking to watch it, because I I was just confused as it was happening. Mm-hmm. The way it was like going, I was like, wait, they've never done this before. And it's you always hear the stories of the double win and they do it together. And it's like a take where they do that. And it was not that. So I was like, what happened? Someone messed up here.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they never recorded a double. Like, you hear, like, for Bianca and Adora. They were Adora and Ty. And other season they do. For us, they did not do that. And then... allegedly, this was online. Apparently, they had, like, right at when the episode ends at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, they had posted on their, like, a tweet went out on RuPaul's Drag Race Twitter. It was like, congratulations, Monet Exchange, on your All-Stars winner. Then it was deleted. Allegedly. Now, people have sent me receipts, and I was like, shut the fuck up. But so, allegedly, that had happened, but it was probably going to do Monet and Trinity. Who fucking knows? But that's what went out at 9:30 p.m. EST.
Semicolon.
That's what had come out.
A colon.
Oh, shit.
No, it could be a semi.
Okay, fine. It could be a semi. But, you know, so you are in this, like, in the Hall of Fame with illustrious greats like Chad in Alaska, Trixie, Shay. And now, who do you think will be joining you in Trinity? Will it be Silky Nutmeg Ganache? Will it be Eureka O'Hara?
Okay.
Sniff, sniff.
The cast came out.
Right.
And who I think she's like a fierce performer and she's a really good queen. I would not be surprised if Eureka won All-Star 6. Mm-hmm. Because Eureka is talented and she does a good job, and Eureka knows her drag and she looks good in the promo. I will say, in her promo, she's giving me very Uncle Fester with like the really like smudge, like really dark eyes. Give me, and she's, you know,
and the four fingers.
Girl, leave it to Fester. But if Eureka snatched the crown for All-Star 6, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the lineup. Huh. I feel like Yara Sofia is going to do really fucking well on this season. She is such a legend.
I'm such a fan of Ginger Minj because she's truly insane, but, like, so talented.
You ever watch her man's OnlyFans?
No.
Absolutely not.
Why do you say it like that?
Why would you say it like that?
Because, like,
you hate fat people?
Cancel
Monet. You get it here first.
Yeah, I hate myself. First of all, I...
not you being on this show calling yourself fat. Not in this...
Wrong
not in this
show!
Company. delete. Log off.
I have, like... the thing is that I've toured with CJ, and I've, like, shared, like
got
a
it.
Lot
oh,
of...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's
you
just
tasted
like,
his dick.
When,
I got you.
When you know somebody, it's harder to watch their OnlyFans
because
you'll be watching it and then be like, remember that time we got drinks out that one night?
You know,
they told
it's
me about their
weird
family
for me.
Issues.
It's a little weird for me. For example, Boomer Banks are friends. I just can't watch his porn. I'm like,
well,
I'm
he
not...
just recently said he's quitting porn. Thought.
Did he really?
He tweeted it.
What the hell he gonna do?
Well, he's a designer,
he's a
you know, full-time fashion designer.
Word.
Boomer listens to this show. Hi,
I know Boomer does. I love Boomer, but I didn't know he was quitting porn. He's such a big name in porn.
Yeah, Meatball, I think that tweet was facetious. I think he's about to launch some new pornography, and that's why.
You know, I read everything as truth.
Well, the internet is truth, as we've learned.
Right. And then, so, wait, I was telling y'all. Oh, yeah, Ginger Minj.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing with Ginger Minj. This is her third time back. And I just think that's a little crazy to me. And then not telling us that she meant for that first opera for her entrance look to be ugly. I was like, that is the weirdest, dumbest take I've ever fucking heard. You're like, the intention was for it to be the ugliest thing you've ever seen. I'm like, that
we all know
no
what
sense.
Happened. I think we all know that.
I don't.
Like,
what do you know happened?
Yeah, what?
Well, I mean, I don't know any story, but I'm just saying, like, maybe she thought it looked stunning. It wasn't fit right. She walked in. It didn't seem great. I love Ginger. If she's listening, I love you. That was not the best outfit.
Oh, I love Ginger.
I think maybe she needed to come up with an excuse as to why it wasn't, like, the most amazing intro outfit. But her other outfit for the promo was stunned.
Yeah.
It was cute. The thing is that I will say, touring with Ginger, Ginger is one of the most professional queens to work with.
Yeah,
like, Ginger is, like, super professional. She's always on time. She always has her material ready. She's, she's like Ginger Minj.
She could work an audience.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
She could just do crowd work for hours, and it's incredible.
Yeah, what was that thing for All Stars 2? I think it was it the GLAAD Awards when it was like
she sang "I Am What I Am,"
and it was like Alaska and Fifi and Alyssa, and they all posed.
No, it's Jeremy now.
Well, at that time, it was what?
Just Jeremy.
Ooh,
don't that name him.
Wow. Cancel Big Dipper. You know what, Big Dipper? I made you a proposal on Super Mario. I don't know if you had heard it, but I heard that you only like older gentlemen. And I could put on a little gray beard for you. I'm already balding.
Okay,
I'm halfway
what are you
there.
Doing? You're
you
better
don't need
than
to
this.
Put on a gray beard. Yeah, you're already there.
Monet, can you take a fist?
Fist?
No, I do want to talk about your butt.
Tell me about it.
Lifted?
Why don't you tell us about it?
Is it lifted?
Was it lifted?
Have you
no.
Did it go to Brazil?
No, bitch, I have. Okay, so y'all already tried to tell me that I once a fat girl, always a fat girl. I grew up as the fat girl with the big booty, the big everything. And then in quarantine, she got her life together. I have never had a BBL.
Really?
No one was accusing
my
you of that.
My ass has always been huge. Have you ever seen scenes of Drag Race of me out of drag? My ass is.
I see the photos you post on Instagram, talking on your tiptoes, twisting your back out, looking at the ass in the mirror with the sparkling filter. That's what I see. I thought you were showing off the work you paid for.
No, I did not have a BBL.
Have you ever had any work done? I know you're now an LA girl. You have anything set up? You going in for anything?
I am getting laser hair removal.
Oh, okay.
This may make Dipper hit me even more. I want to get laser hair removal because I got it done in the past, but I got it done by this bitch in New York, and bitch, she burned the shit out of me. I had like third degree burns all over my chest.
Oh my god.
It was crazy. So this was back in like 2014, 15. And I said I'd never do it again. But then my friend told me about a place in LA, Prolays, and apparently they know how to do it on dark skin because laser hair removal is tricky for dark skin people with dark hair and light skin people with light hair. But apparently this place is fierce. I am gonna try again, girl. If I get burned the fuck up, I'm gonna be so mad because it takes like a year to like fully heal and go away.
I had a roommate who got it done, and she was an actress, and she couldn't wear shorts on camera for over a year.
Girl, it's traumatic.
She had to just be
really
always
traumatic.
In pants and different types of leggings and stuff. Because,
what sort
like, they
of
fucked her leg up?
What part of your body do you get it removed from?
I want to get it on my chest, on my stomach, ab area, and then also my whole back. And I don't get like super hair in my back.
And your back hole.
I like a little peach fuzz on my booty. Like I don't want it to be like super like baby, which is weird to even mention babies in this situation. So let me go rewind. I don't like it to be young, like super like no hair. I like it to have just a little hint of a little whisper.
Something that when someone whispers in your ear, those hairs stand up on your butt.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Also, I love eating ass. And then I will say, when I eat someone's booty and it's like super like no hair, it's a little weird to me. It's like a little like, I like just a little like something.
Yeah. I will tell you, whenever I've had the opportunity to be with a person who is like opposite body type, like skinny and hairless, I am like fascinated. I'm like,
really?
Oh, this is like just how your butt and butthole is? There's just nothing
fascinated
here.
Good or fascinated bad?
Good. I mean, I'm in there.
Okay, so
it
then I'm going
to
do it.
It feels weird
there.
For me to touch it because I feel like my hand just like gets, it like sticks to it. Whereas if there's hair, you can like glide your hand down their body. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also,
there's like a friction that's created.
I'm like, I don't want to fucking rim a dolphin. I want to rim like a human being. And human beings have hair.
Yeah.
Rim
but some
a dolphin.
Cats don't have hair.
Some cats don't, and mine does not.
Let's talk about Colleen, your hairless
cat that you got.
I got sold a faulty hairless cat. She is,
oh no.
This bitch is full. She has so much hair. Kitty, where's she at? Comes in here, I'll show y'all. She, her whole ass has hair. Her tail is riddled. Her tail is full of hair. Her paws, her face. Bitch, they sold me a faulty cat.
You're slipping Rogaine in her food.
I give him a little testosterone, honey.
Had you had an animal before you got Colleen?
I grew up with animals. In my adult life, no, I've never had an animal, but I grew up with like dogs. I had dogs and dogs and dogs. Like,
oh,
when
wow.
I was first born, we had a little, my first dog was Spike. And he was like a little mongrel situation. He had like so many mixes. Who knows what the fuck that bitch was. And then Spike died and then we got Blossom. Blossom was a Chihuahua. I mean, sorry, Chihuahua, a poodle. And Blossom accidentally ate rat poison.
Ooh.
Then, oh my God.
Yeah. Then she died. And then we had Walk and Wine, which were two Labradors.
Walk and Wine.
Yeah. And a chocolate.
I thought that was just like something you would do.
No. It was honestly, my parents are from St. Lucia. And it was a very popular soca song back then, Walk and Wine.
Oh, yeah, got it. You're like, Mom, what are you putting in that cup? She's like, this is my Walk and Wine. Take a stroll.
And then when we were super young, my like biological father came back in my life a little bit. And like he thought it would be a great idea to just get me a cat without my like parents knowing. So I go to visit him. He gives me this cat. I come home like, Mom, look, I have a cat. She's like, what do you mean you have a fucking cat? So my mom is relegated to take care of me and this cat. Long story short, we go to school one day. We left the, like, this is like, we have it for like 2 weeks, right? We leave the kitchen window open. We come back. We come back home that evening. The cat is nowhere to be found. Like, where did the cat go? Like, oh my God, I'm crying. The cat ran away. Next morning, wake up. The fucking brains of the cat are sitting on our front lawn. Our neighbor's dog ate our cat.
And you have a lot of trauma traumatic. Related to cat ownership.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a sign. Poor Colleen.
Yeah. So what's it like now with Colleen? Because it seems like now it's like a bougie situation.
Yeah.
Oh, how is it bougie? Tell me how it's bougie.
What's that on the ground behind you? Is that a cat bed?
Yes, a cat bed, bitch, for her to sleep.
You go from the cat got snatched off a windowsill by a dog, and fucking got a lobotomized by the neighbor's dog.
Oh
now
my
you got
God.
A bougie hairless cat. You get together with Violet's hairless cat and just have little cat parties.
Yes, Eugene and Colleen were going to be a couple, but I was across the country. But now I'm here. Eugene and Colleen will have a play date. So I'm friends with Janina Gavankar. If you guys watch True Blood, she's on the morning show. She's a good friend of mine. And her partner, they have a hairless cat. And I went to go bring Colleen over there. Girl, it was like so weird. Like Colleen, this was her first time meeting another Sphinx. And the whole time they're kind of like stalking each other. Because they're like, you kind of look like me. Are you like me? And then they were playing this like thing all day. It was really cute. So I'm constantly on the fence of getting a second cat. Because people say you should have a second cat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, No.
I think I'm going to get a second one just because ours
is. Wait, you have
like-
one?
Yeah, we only have one.
What kind of cat do you have?
Just a plain, normal cat. I don't even know. It's gray.
So you're saying that my cat is normal or plain?
No, yours is expensive and weird.
With a hairy butt.
With a hairy little butt. Do you have to do any of that weird, like, wait, one more question. Do you have to, like, weirdly clean her or, like, give her baths or
pop her
little blackheads?
I see those on TikTok where they pull, like, the hairs and the oils out of the nail beds on the hairless cats. Have you seen that?
Oh, Colleen doesn't do that. I bathe her once a month, but she doesn't get that weird nail thing. I have seen that. She doesn't get that. I think it's because the hair on her fucking paws, because she's not a real hairless cat. She's fucking fake. She's a fraud. And I know you fucking hear me out there, bitch. You're fake.
Oh my God.
It's not her fault. It's whoever sold it for you.
Girl.
Will you disclose how much you pay for the cat?
What do you mean? I got it from a breeder.
No, you didn't. What did you pay for it, Colleen?
Those are like $2,000?
No, I paid $1,200 for Colleen.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay, but here's the thing, though, because I have, like, really bad pet allergies. Like, even dogs. And I go over to friends who have dogs, and I, like, pet their dog, because I get so excited. And I accidentally touch my face, bitch, I'm ruined for, like, the next 6 hours. I have really bad pet allergies.
I had pretty bad cat allergies when we first got Deb. But then I went and got two of those allergy shots where they, like, just, like, it just dries you out completely. And then now I just take Benadryl.
Okay, so when I first got her, I would have, like, for the first 2 weeks, it was bad. Like, I could not breathe. I was super congested. Like, I literally I'll talk like this because it was so bad for, like, 2 weeks. And then it just went away. And now I don't have anything.
Well, congratulations. And we'll be right back after this break. Goodbye. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had like a, it was like a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion, there's plenty of vegetable, and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is like, you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a sleigh, baby.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you.
Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Okay.
And we're back.
Ooh. Let's talk about the singing voice.
Do you know Wicked?
Okay, I know numbers from the show, but I've never seen the show. I
How?
Know.
You lived in New York for like what, 20 years?
Because you know, it's that thing when Broadway shows are on for a while and people are like, girl, she has lost. Like, mm-hmm. when the cast, this is like, this is what, they're up to like their 15th year now. The cast, they literally are just going through the motions. They literally don't give a fuck. And they're like, don't go see it now. It'll ruin it for you. So I have not seen it now.
Well, that's the first time anyone's actually responded with a very truthful answer. Good for you.
One now, short day to the Emerald City.
Meatball, do you even know? I mean, Meatball, Jesus, Big Dipper. Do you even know music theater? Are you just going to stare at us? Are you not going to sing along? Can we not?
Oh, he knows musical theater.
What a random song to pull from Wicked. One short day?
Yeah, that was a weird one.
You didn't go for like, Wizard and I? You didn't go for Defying Gravity? You didn't go for Lobular?
Basic gay. I'm not a basic drag queen. Or a fucking
Defying
Gravity.
She wants to be different with the deep cut. Okay,
oh, you're special. You
bring
different.
Some musical theater my way. Just because I don't have a singing voice doesn't mean I'm not aware.
And not opera, musical theater. We don't do that.
We know
opera
you're
bullshit.
Trained over there, in Kevin. Opera. Let's
hear
it. Yo,
people, music theater people have this weird thing about opera singers. Opera singers are not like that. We have reverence for all types of music, but music theater people are like, ugh, not that opera thing. Good, damn.
It's because I don't feel like when you're here it is. Here we go. When I see an opera, I'm like, these are very good classically trained singers doing a very good job. But when I see musical theater, I'm seeing people act and sing.
You're talking about a triple threat. Often dancing too, which because also doesn't happen in opera.
There's acting, but I feel like they're more concerned with hitting the right notes and doing that. And in a musical, you can hit the notes, but you could also be like, you know, give it some
interesting
thoughts? Okay, wow, all right, so she left the meeting.
I imagine,
you know, Monet, I actually, my friend is an opera director, and so oftentimes when it works out with scheduling, I will go and like help him produce operas. He does like very sort of avant-garde operas, so I've worked on a couple operas with him, like Handel's Orlando. Ooh. And we did this like very deep cut Gertrude Stein and Virgil Thompson opera about Susan B. Anthony.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, I'm a little deeper than what you see on the surface. Okay, Monet,
Big Dipper is a Renaissance man. I like that.
I don't like this flirting. I can tell you, I don't like that.
Okay, here's a question.
I often talk about Dick Pig and Big Dipper a lot on Saving Rivalry, so, you know.
Wait, what, Emmy?
No, you don't. I listen.
What did you? I
talked about it like 3 times now. Bob was like, and every time Bob was like, Monet, Big Dipper's not into you. Big Dipper likes older men.
But what did you say something about a dick pic? You sent a dick pic?
Dick pigging you.
Oh, dick pigging?
Yeah.
Monet, do you remember where we met?
It was at Twin Cities Pride,
Indianapolis.
Oh my goodness,
Indianapolis Pride. Yeah, I remember that. Wait, were you performing?
I was performing, yeah. And that was also the night that Lizzo performed. Yes. And they were shuttling talent back and forth to the hotel, and the management team told me to get on the bus because it. They said it was like a talent bus, and I got on and I was just waiting with my dancers, and then we got like yelled at by Lizzo's team. You're not supposed to be here, like as if we were a security threat. And
work.
We got like shamefully kicked off the bus, and then we had to wait for like another shuttle, even though it was all organized by like the same group. You know, it was all for the Pride talent.
Yes.
That was so, it was such like a moment of like, we got there. I talked to you. I had a great set. You know, Marco from House of Avalon was there with Lizzo. We all chatted. Like, they brought,
oh,
you know,
Marco
we all got
there
to, like,
her?
Yeah, because he was on the road. Oh. Like, he was styling her. And so we, it was, and the dancers were like, this is so cool because I brought them from Chicago. And then I was like, okay, let's head back to the hotel. And they were like, yep, here's the bus. And then it was just like, just bitch, let me put you in your place. They were like, get the fuck off this bus. I was like, okay.
Okay, but remind me, Lizzo wasn't, like, she wasn't, like huge yet, right?
She was huge, but it was like
how dare you talk about her size like that.
It was
how
like
dare you.
It was like 2 months into her hugeness, so okay. This gig had been booked like a year out.
Year,
so
right.
She was
sense.
much bigger than the gig was, but she
got
was still
it.
Doing them. Did you know, sorry, you know, I just gotta say, did you know that a lot of those Pride shows at the big cities are actual, when they get big artists like that, it's not the Pride organization paying for the artist, it's the radio station.
Oh.
So like this happened in Indianapolis, and this happened when I played at a Pride in DC, where as part of the gig, you then had to like step in a little trailer and do like a tiny little radio interview.
Uh-huh.
And then also you had to do a meet and greet, but the meet and greet was arranged through the radio station. So bitch,
and
how
by
embarrassing.
This Pride in DC, you're talking about when you did Trump's inauguration, right?
Fuck yes. Off. I did Capital
okay.
City
okay.
Pride.
Okay.
Fuck uh-huh. all the way off. And but this is what I found out was so crazy. Oftentimes the big artists are there as a favor to their label to get in good with the radio station, so their to song gets played
shit.
On the radio, and they're not getting paid the way that a drag race queen is or an
got
independent
it.
Entertainer is getting paid from the Pride organization. I
got
I did
it.
Not
Must
know
be
that
hard.
Because I was like, how are, no shade, but like, these are big fucking names coming out here to play this thing. And it's not rinky dink. There are thousands of people there. But like, if they just put on their own show to theater, they could make like $50,000 to $100,000 selling it out. And I'm sure they're not getting money, you know, money like that to do the Pride in the Park.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Speaking of gigs, I want to ask you about your upcoming gigs. What do you got going on? You've been doing some gigs during the little pandemic. You were over in the UK for Drop Dead.
Death Drop.
Whatever.
Wow. Almost there.
So much research.
So much research. Wow. I've been doing a lot of stuff in the pandemic.
Must have been real professional over there because you didn't even do one show.
No, they did a couple weeks.
Yeah, we did a couple weeks. We ended up doing a week of previews, and we did like a week of the show. Then it was kaput. I've done that. During the pandemic, I did one digital drag show like in my home, and I was like, I never want to do this again. It was
farted at you and walked away.
It was also, this was back when I was in New York City, so I was in my little. I want to say 7x4 hallway trying to do this drag. It was terrible. And then my apartment was so, like, you can hear me stomping. This was when my neighbor downstairs were trying to, like, come and, like, shoot me and kill me in my sleep. Faggot. I literally chased him down the hallway with a knife. I'm like, motherfucking nigga, don't you ever come back up here. I will fucking kill you in this building, bitch. I had so much drama in New York City with my neighbors and because of digital drag shows. I did more things in person and really just podcasting and like brand deals, but not too much performing like at home. I just don't like it. Do you like it?
No, I hate it.
It's the worst.
Meatball just got back to doing a live show. You did a live show this weekend.
Yeah, I did my first live show in Long Beach. It was a fun little time.
And you did not invite me. It's so fucking rude, girl.
You don't answer the messages that I send you on Instagram. I had a wonderful time. I got there and I didn't realize that like it was basically like a brunch. This was Morgan McMichael Show's Executive Suites, which Raja has done. Like all the queens have done it. Delta is there consistently.
Raja, but I didn't realize Raja Gemini.
Raja Gemini. And also because just to interject because I think it's very cool. Because of the restrictions, they were actually able to be open. They've been open for a very long time and started trailblazing all of these outdoor drag shows with masks, stay at your seat. Like they literally, the rules were changing week by week with the county board to keep the bar open and keep people employed. And so it's actually a really cool thing. And because they were one of the only places in LA that were doing drag shows, they had tons of traveling people come out to do the show in Long Beach.
Yeah.
To do it like a parking lot.
I was there with Denali.
Yeah.
So you think LA invented drag? Got it.
No, Long Beach. I think Long Beach invented COVID drag. But it was at Executive Suites. Robert at Executive Suites is great. It was so fun. But no one told me. And I talked to Bitch the morning of the show. And I was like, is there anything I need to know? And she was like, yeah, just make sure like you have fun, upbeat numbers. Spoken word doesn't work there. Like, just do whatever. And I get there with 2 3-minute songs and everyone else's songs. I was like, wait, how long is your song? And Delta was like, oh, mine's 6 minutes. Morgan was like, mine's 12 minutes. Denali was like, mine's 15 minutes long. And I was like, oh, I have 2 3-minute numbers. Like, what do I do? So we were like sitting there rushing. Like I was going through the DJ's mixes being like, what do you have that I can't do? So halfway through my first number, 3 minutes into it, my legs give out. I haven't worn heels in over a year and a half. I'm walking up and down a hill in these like bordello platforms, and I was like,
"Yeah, you have those bordellos, those ones that roll through. That should have helped you."
Shoe.
Oh God, you have shoes like that? That sounds terrible.
Well, I can't wear the little short. I'm looking at your set, and you got like what? Yeah, so 3 inches over there. You like wear these
stilettos.
Little petite babies. I like
no,
a platform.
Bitch, all my shoes. Are y'all? Oh hell no!
Get up! Get up!
That's not a BBL. That's not a BBL. Look at that ass. That's not a BBL.
Okay, see, that's a big one. But look, I'm looking at the bottom of the shoe rack.
Those are my, because some of us can wear open-toed shoes, baby.
Oh.
She's an
drag me.
This
anyway.
Is a pump. I want Big Dipper to.
That's a platform. Look at the toe, bitch.
Oh, it's a platform. I want Dipper
Big Dipper screenshot
to shove this up my ass.
Oh, you know who's someone who has done
you don't
that
like to
is...
get fisted, but you like all the ass play?
No, I do not like getting fisted. Ooh,
how many fingers have you had up in there?
Maybe two.
I don't like.
Oh, so you just
maybe
like,
two, not even three.
What's the first thing you put in your ass as a kid? Mine was the toothbrush, bristle side down.
Mine was
down.
The back end of a plunger.
Wait, bristle side like in? Like you wanted
no,
the bristles
no, no, no,
in?
No, 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 no. Like I flipped it over, so it was not the bristle side. The handle
got
of
it.
The toothbrush.
Probably a finger. I've never put an inanimate object in my ass.
Ever?
Ever? What? Not even dildo. I'm not into that. I'm more of a top, to be honest. But what? When I'm with a guy who, but every time I've had successful penetration, it's been by a dude who knows how to, you know, to worship the queen before she enters the castle. Because a lot of these dudes, they want to come over, they wanted to spit on your hole and fucking. I'm like, no, bitch, you need to get me together first. You can't just come and just shove your fucking dick inside. Like, I hate that. That fucking drives me insane. Tops are so fucking lazy, and they like to shame bottoms for not having condoms on these things. Like, bitch, no, it is your job to get me ready.
Now, yeah, and I think that top should start having douches and extra lube at their house.
Honestly.
Because if you pick up a bottom out at a night out at a club,
girl,
they're not going to be clean from douching before they went out. Like, it's been 4 or 5 hours. You should give them the option and not get mad at them if they paint your dick.
Also, I have started, though, my friend, I'm not going to say his name, my best friend since high school, he came, he spent a week here, and he's been taking Metamucil every day. For mm-hmm. 4 years, he said, I generally, when I shit, I don't even have to wipe if I don't want to. He's like, his track is clean because he takes
it
every morning for 4 years. So that's a tip for y'all out there. Yeah, Metamucil. It's literally the same shit in the fucking Pure for Men. Shit.
Yeah.
It's just that, right. And there are tons of products like that. Wait, I'm curious because you said he has to worship the queen.
Yeah.
What?
Do you fucking drag?
No, hold
you
on,
ever
Meepo,
fucking
let me
drag?
Get
no, let me get this one. Okay, you ever fucking full mug?
Of course.
You wear a human hair wig?
Not a human. You got to. That's a.
She
that's
wears
a
her kitty cat.
Yeah, because it's less things. It's just right here. There's no strands going everywhere. It's just a little kitty cat wig that's comfortable and not hot.
See, I like if I'm ever in drag doing it, I like to when the wig gets in my mouth and I go, oh, hold on, oh, and like you like have to pull it off your tongue.
I hate that. That's so awkward.
What are you talking about? Guys love that. They're like, yeah.
When the hair is in your mouth?
Yes, they love it. They love to watch you choke on it.
What?
I'm just kidding.
No.
I literally don't hook up in drag. I was just trying to see
you. You've never hooked up in geesh ever.
One time I got a blowjob in a car, but it was gross, and I stopped halfway through.
Work. Not hooked up in drag, especially because New York is also different to LA, where you go to the gig in a cab, and then you get to the club, and then afterwards you kind of have to hang out at the bar until you get your check and to
mm-hmm.
until you fulfill your even like doing a fucking 2-hour show by yourself
it's
wasn't
not fulfilling
enough.
They
want you to hang out for another hour and a half, 2 hours after the show, and then you do that, and you're like in drag, and you're standing outside, and you're like waiting for your cab. So people's and in Hell's Kitchen, these straight dudes, they love to walk by, and they'll give you like a little eye, and you're like, oh. And then they give you a little eye, then they walk back, like they forgot something, and they come back, and you kind of make, and then you get in a cab together, you go home, and then you fuck, and then that's it.
And then you end up murdered, and it's a Law & Order SVU episode. Do you think, I think it might be harder to be, this is an overgeneralization, but harder to be a queen in New York just based on the fact that, like, those girls are doing, like, 3 or 4 shows a night. Mm-hmm. They show up in one outfit, and they just, like, hop around, and you got to mm-hmm. be on a subway. Like, at least in L.A., most people have cars.
Yeah.
Bars have parking lots. You can bring a suitcase with you and, like, do outfit changes throughout the night.
Yeah. What I want to do, I want to bring New York City drag to L.A. Now, I don't really, like, fuck with, like, club shows a lot anymore, but I do want to do, like, a night.
Oh, you're better than that.
No, I'm not better than that. I just, you are such
no, it's
a messy,
okay.
You're such a messy bitch. I want to do, like, a New York style, because I used to do my one-woman shows in New York, and it's just me and a DJ for 2 hours, and people used to live. I want to do one of those shows in New York, because that's not a thing in L.A., right? No one Mm-mm. does these one. Like not, there's not
only,
one person that does it.
Only Jackie B or Sherry Vine or Love Connie. Those three have really gotten it together, and they do one-woman shows at Casita del Campo.
No, I want to do it at the fucking Abbey, bitch, or at WeHo. I want to do my a one woman show like I would do like at Industry.
They would
or
not let you. I mean, they might let
really?
You.
They yeah,
might let you.
You. They would let you. Maybe
I
want to
do
mama.
It. I'm gonna hit
I think
up, I'm
it's
hit
a different
the...
thing. I think even though New York has like so much more chaotic energy as far just like as a city, I feel like LA is way more like ADD. And so the idea, you know, people's like attention span, like nowhere is set up to facilitate, like, there's one entertainer tonight. Enjoy, because the way, you know, like all the bars and the clubs in here in LA, like at the Abbey, it's all around the stage.
Abbey's probably a bad trip, but Mickey's, what they do, Showgirls, like that's literally the perfect setup.
Right. But I think for them, right, half of their appeal is when they're thumping music out onto the street and they have that open patio that's like, oh, you want to come in here.
God.
So if they just hear you singing, like, an aria, I don't think people would want to come in there. What did you say, Meepo?
Wow.
I just said even during Showgirls at Mickey's, like, the patio is full of people talking who aren't watching the show.
Correct, correct.
Interesting.
Wait,
interesting.
This is what I wanted to say earlier, and then we'll take a break.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
About worship, you know, you got to get the queen ready. You got to...
Worship the queen. You gotta bow to the queen and worship her before you enter the castle.
Do you think by doing that you create your own juices in your asshole?
I think I do, because I think you do. I think if someone is sitting there fingering and preparing and like rimming you for like an hour and a half, bitch, you get real moist back there. It gets, and it's perfect for a dick to come on through.
Spit.
It's their spit lining your walls.
You think you're creating
a
lubricant
mucus in your
like
hole?
It's a vagina?
No, but I think there is a little osmosis and secretion happening, and I think that...
Oh, so you're a scientist.
I don't know much about algebra, but all I know...
But my butt is wet.
I think there is something to do. It's something with the person's spit, but also there's some of your juices secreting from your ass. I genuinely think that.
We have been having this debate, and we had, you know, Matthew Camp. Yeah. I'll bring it up, Meatball, I will.
He's got a hog of a dick.
We had him on the show, and he said, famously, your asshole creates 27 different types of mucuses.
Okay, and I don't know about all that.
I didn't know about that. But people got upset and said that we were providing misinformation to the world.
Why? We can't keep bringing this up every
episode. I'll keep bringing it up because Monet just said her ass
but
gets
I
wet.
Asked a, yes, but she didn't say 27 types of wet. She just said, I think that there's something that happens and maybe... And after speaking to a doctor, he did say that your asshole creates mucus, but only in order to help you poop, like to ease poop out. Oh. So maybe if someone's up there dingling around, see, now dingling, I'm on the wrong side of science. If someone's up there finger blasting you and getting you all together, and then your body might be tricked into thinking it's pooping, I could possibly see that.
This is what I think. I think every bottom should have one of those lube syringes that you can pre-lube, like squirt deep inside yourself. You must know about this.
Lube shooter.
I don't know about that. Tell me. Bitch, do I need to get her? Amazon Prime.
And so it should just be part of your, if you know you're going to have, you know, some sexual congress, if you just do that mindlessly, then you convince yourself that you're lubricating from natural secretions. But it's like, it's lube that you put up there already.
Bitch,
do you ever call it your pussy?
No, I hate when dudes call their ass. It's not a pussy. It's also not. Bussy is some white gay shit, and I fucking hate that word.
But what about
thrusty? Do you ever lay on your back and put your legs in the air and then slap your hole like that?
No, I'm not her. I'm not that girl. I wish I was. I'm just, oh, like I said, I top.
I know
way
you're
more than
a
bottom.
Top.
I bottom maybe 5 times a year.
What's so the ideal top for you? Obviously, worship the queen before.
Uh-huh.
We learned that.
I'm also not a size queen. I don't care if your dick is 4 inches or if it's, well, 10. Big dicks are pretty. They're not functional. I genuinely am not interested in having a 9-inch penis inside of me. Also, people are so ridiculous with dick sizes. Like, everyone swears they have a 9-inch dick. People don't realize a 7-inch dick is a big dick. Like, a 7.5-inch dick, that is big. That is not
that's
a
what
small
I always
penis.
Say, and guys are like, nah, it's not that big. I'm like,
that's not
have
true.
Have you tried to put it anywhere? It's huge.
Yeah, 7 inches is a big dick. And most people out there saying that they 8-9 inches, bitch, your shit really be like 7, maybe 6.5, and you swear. And also, they love taking
their
ruler.
Measuring from the base.
They're measuring from, the base. From their asshole.
They're measuring their taint. Yeah, they like in their asshole. They're like, look, you see it's 13 inches. Like, motherfucker,
they're pushing
it's
the poopa down.
That shit is so annoying. Anyway, so I'm not a side screen in that. So that doesn't really, honestly, I would prefer someone with more of like an average to small dick if you're going to be like a long-term partner. Because I ain't trying right. to. Like that to me, that's ideal, and I would love that. And I'm also not with a race. I have literally no race hangups, baby. A fucking Martian could come here and be
race
and be cute, and I'm all race? About it. Race. Yeah, I don't really, honestly, I don't have that many preferences. I really
do
don't.
You like when they look you in the eye or not?
Ooh, yes. Well, if we've hooked up for more than 3 times, then that's sexy. But if it's our first time meeting and it's not that like passionate,
eyes on the wall.
Don't fucking look at me, bitch. Spit on me. Act like I don't exist. Don't like I don't want that.
I was gonna.
Now, what's
ask
your
you
favorite nail for giving a blowjob? Do you prefer stiletto, a coffin, almond?
None. I mean, in life, I love a nice tapered coffin, but also when you, again, because I'm normally topping, and if I do fuck someone in drag, every time they want you to fuck them, they want you to top them. They don't. It's never the other way around. Mm-hmm. Like literally 99% of the time. So having a nail prevents me from fucking fingering them or whatever. So I would typically don't wear nails if I'm gonna fuck with somebody.
Are you of the belief? See, I had a friend that used to fucking drag all the time, and she said that the best they preferred it when she was just like in a bright red lip, barely any foundation, and just like lashes. Like she was like, I could show up being ugly in a nasty wig and they like it more than if I came fully done.
Okay, I'm gonna think they like it more. I think your friend is just fucking lazy. Oop. And they didn't really care. I don't think they like it more. I think that dudes that they, like they'll take whatever, bitch.
Why is it always the ugly drag queens that get hit on by Uber drivers and I'm sitting there and nothing ever happens to me? I've never been to Ubu Java.
Wait. We really have to take a break. Hold on. We have to take a break and we're coming back.
I'm pretty enough to be sexually harassed by an Uber driver.
Okay, we are back. Meatball, do you want to continue this line of questioning?
Have you ever been sexually harassed by an Uber driver?
No, but by a taxi cab driver, yeah. Uber drivers, I think they're a little more timid because you know, you have all their details, you know?
Right, you could trace it back.
Yeah, and in New York, there are still taxis. You know, a lot of people still do Ubers, but sometimes you get a taxi because you have all the cash in the club and you're like, here's $40. But yeah, definitely the taxi drivers.
So listen, I know we've been all over the place. We do have a final segment, which is called Fuck Talk, and we've kind of been doing it already. I have a couple of questions I'm just dying to know about.
Okay.
Before
well,
we
the first
we
one
round
you should know
up.
Is that my new video. When is this coming out? Is this out already? When is this coming
this
out?
This is coming out Friday.
This oh my God! On Friday. Yeah, I know.
Well, bitch, you sent it for the last minute. What if they tune off?
They won't
no, because
they know,
all the
they
juicy
the
stuff
segment.
Happens at the end.
Wow, this sounds very shiny, but
race. Wait, we're gonna talk about your video, but I'm very curious to know. There's this photo that I keep seeing of you sitting in maybe God. A Santa sleigh with the cast of the Jersey Shore.
Explain.
I'm fascinated to know what that is, and then also like. What other kind of weird industry Hollywood gigs have you done that are like not a club gig, not a performance, but somehow you get booked and it's cute money? So you're like, I'll do that.
Okay, wait, but I have such ADD. I want to put it down on my thing on my Amazon now. It's called a lube shooter.
Ah! Yeah.
I want to remember this. This is important. Oh my God, yes, the lube. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is fabulous. Thank you guys. Oh my God,
you're
I really
welcome.
Did learn something at the of Sloppy Seconds today. This is lovely.
Yes.
Okay,
we're here to
shooter.
Educate.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, yeah. So the picture with me in the cast of Jersey Shore, I was doing the Jingle Ball, the iHeartRadio's Jingle Ball. And I was hosting this like Santa's, I was like Santa's hot wife lady person. And they had all these people. I mean, all these celebrities came in. A lot of them, TBH, I did not know, like BB Rexha. I was like, okay. I was like, hey, girl. Someone named Bozzy. This was Khalid. Now he's popular. I know him now, but then I did not know who he was.
Right.
Like all the girls from, what's the one that broke up? Not Little Mix, the other one.
Fifth Harmony.
Go to work. Fifth Harmony. Like those girls came, and then the Jersey Shore came, and then it was it was super awkward. They were all lovely. Like they were great. But I think at first, when you see a big black drag queen in at Santa's sleigh, you don't know how to react. So we were all sitting there and we had this moment. They were testing mics and lights and sound. And it was also at the end of the night. I had no conversation. I was like, I'll turn it on when the camera's on. But in this moment, I'm just going to be like, and then they were all really nice to each other. So it was just that moment. One thing that happened, Calvin Harris came into the suite and he asked him if he wanted to be on set. And he was like, no, thank you. I'm not going to do that. And I was like, ooh, shady. And I was so mad because that motherfucker is like 6'6". He's Scottish or from Manchester, whatever it is. And apparently has a big ass dick. I was like, I was going to definitely flirt.
You wanted to just be near it? You wanted to feel it?
To feel the heat of the foreskin.
I'm going to look up a picture of Calvin Harris right now.
Yeah, I honestly, okay, Fulty, I didn't know who he was. Patty was like, oh, that's...
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, me,
Patty
me
was like, that's Calvin Harris. I was like, oh,
my. Likes the skinny boys. Okay, so, okay, cool. Tell
it
us
is
about,
a big dick.
Tell us about your video, Monet.
My video is called Love Like This. It's my first single off my upcoming album, which is so different than my EP because the first single, Love Like This, is a reggae joint. And it's like a reggae R&B
song. You beat Rihanna
song.
To it.
You know I'm obsessed with
she
Rihanna.
She said
right?
She. What'd you say?
I'm obsessed with Rihanna. Like I. Literally,
well, where's
she's
her reggae album? Remember how she said she was gonna put
she
it
was
out?
She was gonna put one out, but she didn't.
I know. I
Good
know.
For her.
I know, right? Because we're all sitting here, like whenever it comes, we're all gonna like. Obsess.
We're all gonna buy
we're
it.
Gonna buy we're all gonna it buy it immediately.
It's called Love Like This, and we shot it in Jamaica, in Montego Bay, Jamaica.
What?
Yeah, have you did
you
did
drag in Jamaica? Is this really ignorant of me?
Send it to y'all. Yeah, it is very ignorant. Wow, race. But we shot it in Jamaica. I'm kidding. We shot it in Malibu, but we tagged Jamaica because it looks like Jamaica though,
right?
And it's
and
a
was it shot by Assad?
Assad directed it, but the DP is not. That's not his name. His name is like Eli or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And it's like a reggae joint. You know, I grew up in St. Lucia, where animals eat cats, and it's a very strange place. But my family grew up on reggae, and reggae, when you grow up, you realize how fucking homophobic and problematic a lot of reggae is.
Can we talk about everyone's favorite reggae song?
Which one?
Make the fire, make we burn the... I mean, it's a literal song about burning gay men.
Exactly. Like all these Beanie Man songs, Elephant Man, Vibes Cartel, like they're so fucking homophobic and problematic. And I remember realizing that and being so upset about it. So I was like, I'm going to make a fucking queer, gay ass reggae R&B song and hopefully people live for it. Like we have girl-girl couples, boy-girl couples, they-them couples. We have everything involved and it's super vibey and it's super cute. And I'm showing off apparently this BBL work that Big Dipper swears I had. I'm sure.
Listen, when you got up and got the shoe, that's all we saw.
I have had a big ass since I was in second grade.
Listen, you protest a lot. Someone say it's up.
It's just that before my stomach was the same size as my ass. So now my stomach is half the size it used to be. My ass just looks bigger.
You was it like shooting in Malibu during the daytime? In
full
drag? God,
it was actually really cool.
You seem to actually love being in drag in the middle of the day. I see you out in the daylight drag more than any other time.
Well, and you used to do that YouTube series where you would go and get fully in drag. Not the build series. Fully in drag, just sitting on the Brooklyn Bridge, sitting on the TKTS steps. You would just paint your face.
Whatever trauma made you do that?
Who made me do it?
Have you worked through whatever trauma made you want to do that?
why are queens so scared of daytime? Like, I love day drag. Like, why don't you like it?
Well,
are you?
You're pretty.
Yeah, your seams
like
don't
almost,
show.
Yeah, you almost pass. Now, I don't know. I'm very fat, so I like sweat so much. And just being in the sun.
Meatball, I am the sweatiest queen. When I am injured, whenever I do something, it's literally in my thing. Like, we have the temperature the room needs to be for me to do, like, video stuff. Because I think about getting in drag and I already start sweating. I am such a sweaty queen. Like, I am so sweaty. And I even thought about doing that Botox thing queens do. They said to get Botox in their forehead and their head to stop sweating.
I used to do that. That just seems weird.
Does it work?
Yeah, it works really well.
But it has to go somewhere. So if it's not coming up,
if it's not coming out your head, it moves to your lower back. But if you're wearing a tight enough corset, it just sits in the corset.
No, see, that's weird. And I feel like later on there's gonna be complications with that, bitch. I'm gonna have fibromyalgia from fucking Botox in my forehead. I just
not
can't
fibromyalgia.
Deal with, I can't deal with other shit, like, you know. So I'm a sweaty queen. So I get that completely. But in LA is oddly people. This is not how LA was advertised to me. Again, I've never spent so much time in LA. LA is pretty cool.
It's cool right now.
Right
get
now.
Ready.
Wait until July.
July and August is going to be rough. Your AC bill is going to be insane.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But so like, tell us when the music video comes out.
It's out today. If you're listening to this podcast, you can go and stream Friday and watch and buy this Love Like This right now. Listen, stream and buy it because all y'all are streaming for free. You're already paying for streaming, but you need to buy it too to give me so
reimburse the video.
Yeah, and when I did
pay her back for that BBL she got.
When I did my first, when the EP came out, I was almost number one on iTunes Pop, but I was
number
two because fucking Ariana Grande had that fucking bitch put out her album the same week as me, and it fucked me up.
And that
I feel like Frankie was behind that somehow.
Girl,
Frankie knew. That EP was motocross themed, right?
What?
Didn't you get out of a car and you wore your little motocross album with the bone straight hair? The outfit?
No, that's another black queen you're thinking of.
No, fuck you.
I never had a motocross anything. What are you talking about?
You're kidding.
Dipper.
The blue jersey outfit with the bone straight hair.
That was on Drag Race. I wore that on Drag Race for a challenge.
And
then
in the video, you were driving all those sports cars.
I
for
drove
the EP.
One car in one scene. I did not come
you
out of a
trying
thing with
me
a
right
helmet.
Now.
I don't know who's telling the truth anymore.
This is
like your podcast. This is like your podcast with Bob. Just gaslight Bob constantly. That's all he does.
Oh, so I'm the one? And no one ever acknowledges how ridiculous and crazy Bob is. I was like, Monet, you made him do it.
But he's
every
really
time.
Good at changing the subject quickly if he gets caught.
And
he's
also getting Jacob to Google things while you're
sure.
Well, he uses Jacob as a distraction and then changes the subject and is like, we'll get back to it. And then y'all never get back to it.
For sure. I hate it. I hate the pot. Honestly, I'm trying to find like a way out. So I'm like,
do you prefer doing your podcast with Bob or Lady Bunny? Thoughts?
I like them both for different reasons. Doing this podcast, Lady Buddy, she is so nutty and she's so technologically challenged at times. Like sometimes when we used to do the stereo calls, it would take us like,
oh yeah,
every week it would take like an hour to get Bunny to figure out how to get on stereo. I'm like, okay, Bunny, so do you remember last week? So it's literally that same thing. And she's like, well, I Monet. Fuck you. And then she'll hang up the phone. I'm like, Bunny, this is not like a bit. Like, we have, like, we set it for like 12 o'clock. Hurry, come. She's like, Monet, I just can't do it today. And I'm like, Bunny, we don't have time for this. Let's please do it. It's like that. Bunny is, she's insane.
What is the stereo app and why does Bob call it the stereo app?
It's something saying like cereal, right? Cereal app. It's like, it's just a way to engage with fans and people can leave thoughts. Y'all should do it. Honestly, especially y'all talking about stuff like sex and stuff like this. It's so great for that because you get people to react live in real time when they leave really funny calls. And it's almost like TikTok or like Instagram for podcast. You just scroll through and you can listen to any show at any time. And it's just random. And sometimes someone who has no idea who Bob and I are, some stray guy will be like, one time this guy was like, yo, man, I really like cool with faggots like that, but y'all sound like some real cool fags, man. Like, definitely, for real, dude. And I'm like, And I love shit like that. And people are like, don't you hate that? I'm like, honestly, no, I think it's funny, but I'm also fucked up. I'm also one of those people that doesn't get mad when people have things like hangups in their Grindr profiles, like no black guys, no whatever. I'm like, good. Cause then I know where not to shop. Like, why would I? Now you have it right on the thing. I know not to even hit you up. You know what I mean? And I get why it's problematic, but I like it, so I'm not wasting my time.
I was just having this conversation, and I know we're going to wrap up here, but I was having this conversation with my trainer this morning where he was talking about, do you remember one of the more famous Karens of the last year was the woman in Central Park who called the cops on that bird watcher, that really hot daddy? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she immediately lost her job. She's filing a lawsuit now for wrongful termination. And I said, you know, I said, the only possibility that she has legs to stand on is if, like, or like if her job maybe had a morality clause or something like that, so they can actually say, we had a reason for firing you. You can't really get fired for being a bigot unless there's paperwork saying you can't, you know what I mean? Like, what she did was fucked up and awful and racist and wrong, but she didn't, like, throw hands on the guy. She didn't, you know, she was just being a Karen. And so we were having this conversation, and he was like, that's my issue with cancel culture, is that there are these sweeping things that happen. I want to know about her, and I want 4 or 5 million people to know who she is, but I want them to make their one-on-one judgment based on her actions of, we're not fucking with her, not the whole internet cancels her or she loses her job or whatever. And I thought that was a really fascinating thing, because this past year has felt like, for so many things that have popped up, it's a sweeping, immediate, across the board, and no one is actually looking into the details of those things. Are often very fucked up, racist, and bad, and those people need to be held accountable, but the sort of broad sense of a sweeping cancellation is also problematic.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. Cancel culture is so toxic and so crazy, and it, like, makes my brain hurt thinking about how ridiculous cancel culture is, and how it's, because it's also, like, in vogue, right? People want to cancel things to make themselves seem like they're so...
What do they call that? Virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling, exactly.
To show that they are on the right side of things.
Yeah. You're like, guys, let's all cancel this thing. You see, like, I know the difference between bad and wrong, and, like, I'm like, great, right? Let's, like, it's like, shut the fuck up. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that we should cancel Trinity She-Devil by Night.
Wow.
She-Devil by Night.
Wow.
That. Oh my God, should I make a Reddit account called She-Devil by Day?
And it can be like, you do love doing drag in the daytime, honey.
I do. Oh my God, you're out here in the day.
She-Devil by Day.
I forgot about She-Devil by Night.
We don't have to get into it.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Should we have her on the show and ask her to talk about that? Do you think she would talk about it?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God, you should ask her. I mean,
Monet, tell your sister you had such a great time with us, and maybe we'll get her to talk about She-Devil by Night.
I mean, she's never commented on it. I mean, we don't even know if it's true, right? This is all just conjecture. No one knows if it's factual.
Yeah, that's the thing, is there's no way to actually prove.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a lot of, like, yeah.
It's probably some shady-ass fucking person who, like, made the... Who fucking... Or maybe it is real. Bitch, I don't fucking know.
Monet, we always
end
our
show...
Thank
you so much for having
you. We had our... we had a long conversation about sexual things, and you learned about a loop shooter, but we often end our show with a sex story. We've run a little over time, but if you have a go-to wild, embarrassing, crazy sex story, now is the moment in our segment that we call Fuck Talk!
Fuck Talk!
Okay, so I recently did the Ball and the Beautiful with Trixie.
Yeah, we heard Hard Turds Only, Doo-Doo on the Chest. You can't repeat content over here.
Everyone knows that story.
I have so many sex stories, girl. I've had a lot of sex in my life. One of them, this is in drag. Oh my God, as soon as I saw my fist, this is actually my one-woman show, Call Me By Monet. So this is kind of topical. Anyway, so one day I am at the end of my gig at Industry Bar, and I'm like living my life. I get on my phone, you know, get on Grindr. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Only capital T's and parties on there.
Yes, mama.
Like, whatever.
Give me the tea.
I'm gonna peruse anyway. So I'm perusing, growing nothing. I'm about, like, calling my Uber, about to go home, and finally I get the broop. I'm like, ooh. He's like, hey. I'm like, hey. He's like, what you doing? Nothing. He's like, looking? Yes. Send a picture. Send me his location. He's like, 10 blocks up. And I'm like, oh, you live in what area is that? Columbus Circle. You got money. Anyway, I get to his building. I'm in the car. We're chatting. And then he buzzes me up. I get to his apartment. And then I open, but mind you, I'm in drag, right?
Oh my gosh.
I'm in drag and like, I come in, we start kissing, whatever, making out, whatever. I suck his dick a little bit. And then he sucks my dick. But I wasn't tucked. So she wasn't, she wasn't sweaty, funky drag. She was, I was in a little bellowy moment. Mm-hmm. So that situation happens. And then we go to the bedroom and then we start making out and stuff there. And then I look in the room and on his dresser, there's this like big measuring cup with like a liquid inside of it. I'm like, work. Okay. I don't know what's going on. And so then he goes, so are you into fisting? I'm like, no, I've never tried. He's like, no, not you, on me. And I was like, no, I've never done that either. He's like, well, are you interested? And I was like, his guy was so hot. His body was so great. And I was like, yeah. But I was like, I don't know what to do. And then so he's like, okay, so there's a liquid here. Just take it and put it on your hand and then just go in slowly. Bitch, I didn't even have to try a finger or two.
He had the vacuum. The vacuum.
He was ready for the whole. Bitch, I put my finger in and it literally took me in like the fucking poltergeist on the fucking TV, okay? It like sucked me in. And I'm like in. At this point, I'm right at the top. I'm wrist in, right? And I'm like going around. I'm going in back and forth. And then he's like, go deeper. I go deeper, deeper. I get to about mid forearm.
Second ring.
And then I'm in there and I start turning my hand around. He's like, no, no, don't do that. I was like, oh, sorry. I didn't know. And then at this point, I was in there for about 35, 40 seconds. I take my hand out and my pinky finger came off. And my pinky finger was inside of this man's orifice.
The nail?
The nail. The nail was in there.
Did you find it? Did you go back in?
I had my nails on.
He didn't ask you to take your nails off?
Honey, these were custom acrylic set. I was not taking my fucking nails off of this motherfucker. I thought they would last.
So you had to go back in.
I don't know. After that point, I didn't tell him I left it in there. And then we like wrapped up and then I left.
Were you?
What happened after?
Are you
was
in drag on your Grindr photo?
No. Anytime I hook up in drag, it's normally guys at the gig. Because you know they, because chasers, I don't care how big of the gig it is or how small it is, chasers are always up in the crowd looking, and you can tell them a mile away, and you know if you're trying to flirt, if you're trying to get that D, you just find them in the crowd, honey, and you can always know where the chasers is at, period.
Mm-hmm.
That is so wild. It's crazy to me that he didn't in the message say like, well, maybe he would have been okay if you said no
with
to the fisting, and it just would have been that.
Yeah, I think.
But
if he was
all the way ready, it seems wild that he wasn't like, "Hey, are you into fisting?"
Well, with fisting, also... So I guess he was obviously doing it before. Like he don't wake up like that, right?
Some of them do.
It's not that they wake up like that. Cleaned out, sure. He may have been playing with a toy, and depending on, you know, how lubed up you got, he probably had been using a lube shooter previously.
Shooters. Girl, life changed. I'm so happy.
Pre-lubed like that, you know what I mean? Because if you were able to...
lube shooters disposable? Because why is it four in a pack? That means they must wear off.
Oh, there easily. Might be some disposable ones. There are also non-disposable
There's
ones. You should look around.
There's non-disposable ones that are like more like a syringe type situation.
Girl, this is...
Show us which one you're looking at.
Well, this looks like the thing you use to like inseminate a fucking cow.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, that's. Yeah,
and
that's
a lot
the right
of them,
one.
A lot of them on the tip, they have four little holes, so it shoots in every direction once it's inside.
Work. This is. But also, you shouldn't go too far in, right, bitch? You can't be getting that shit all the way past. Well, I guess it's not that long to get it so deep. I don't fucking know.
Also, it'll absorb into your body or leak out later.
Yeah,
you'll be fine.
Listen, Monet. Have you fisted anyone since?
No, that was the first and last time I fisted someone.
And you left a nail inside.
I left a nail. It might still be there. Legend has it. It's still in there.
Not legend has it.
Oh my God, that could be my calling card. Every time I fist someone, I leave a nail inside.
No.
That's fierce.
Okay, well, listen, if you're listening to this at home and you want to find Monet, you can listen to Monet on her podcast, Sibling Rivalry, on her other podcast, Ebony and Irony. You can also check out the Sibling Rivalry Patreon. You can watch back episodes of Monet's Exchange, The Exchange Rate, the Build series, which is on YouTube. You can also see Monet on mini episodes of Drag Race and Drag Race All Stars. You can also watch her in the Work the World docuseries on WoW Presents Plus.
God, yeah.
You can also catch her in some Pepsi commercials, and there's a blip of her face next to Cardi B saying, oh, grrr. And you can catch her for 0.001 second in a Madonna music video in which she sacrificed an entire national tour for. But, we all make decisions.
Honestly, to fuck Peter Murray over, priceless.
All right, and go watch her new single and stream it and buy it today.
And it is called Love Like This, shot in Jamaica. Meatball, let's give our outro.
Thank you so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at Sloppy Pod. Send us an email at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com or call with your own fuck talk story to 213-536-9180. Our Instagrams are Big Dipper Jelly and Spicy as Meatball. I am Fat Drag Meatball on Twitter. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Doodle-a-doot-doot forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.